Welcome to Mining Stock Daily. This is Trevor Hall. Today, reporting from the Denver Gold Forum in Denver, Colorado, and sitting with me now is Darren Blasutti. He is the president and CEO of America's Gold and Silver. I will preface this conversation by saying I am a shareholder of the company, but this is the first time Darren and I have actually had a chance to sit down and record an interview for Mining Stock Daily. Really looking forward to it. If you are unfamiliar with the story, America's Gold and Silver is traded on the NYSE with the symbol USAS and also on the TSX with the symbol USA. Darren, good to join you here on Mining Stock Daily. How has the last couple weeks transitioning from Beaver Creek Precious Metals into Denver Gold treated you so far?
Well, it's thanks, Trevor. Very nice to be on the podcast. It's been a bit of a crazy couple of weeks. 60 meetings last week, another 30 or so today or this week, and obviously, as the volume in the company's grown to one and a half to million shares or so a day, the number of meetings from last year, this year's probably up about 50%. So we're pretty happy about that.
I remember a year ago, I think it was almost a year ago this week, is when Pershing Gold decided they couldn't show up to Beaver Creek, and so everybody was wondering what the heck was going on. Turns out America Silver has decided to purchase the Relief Canyon project from Pershing Gold. So we got a number of things to talk about, but please give us an update of where Relief Canyon is in construction, and it sounds like you are on track for first gold pour in Q4 of this year.
Yeah, so obviously we closed the deal in April. We announced the financing package. The mine, I expect, will pour gold kind of the second week of December. I think at the very, very outside date, the first week of January. So we're really triangulating down to a time frame. But we're pretty confident about the second week of December. It's one of the great mines in the world in that, it was built before. It had a lot of infrastructure in place. It's probably $70 million of value in the ground already. We only bought the company for $38 million, so very happy to have had it. And so we also bought it at $11.80, and gold's gone up materially. So it's going to be a great project for us. We think we're going to be in commercial production by the end of the first quarter, 2020, which is an important number, important time, because it's one thing to be pouring gold. That's nice. It's a nice opening day to have a conversation around it, but you really want to be making money.
Right. It's our early Christmas gift.
Yeah, early Christmas gift. So so the mine basically is the long lead time item is the crusher. That crusher has, we had a mine site tour last Monday, and the crusher has started to arrive on site, and we expect that to be up by mid-October, which means we'll be putting ore on the leach pad by early November, and that gives us the gold pour. So everything's on time and on budget. We've had a few cost escalations, but we found a way to do a bunch of stuff cheaper. So ultimately, I think that the $28 to $30 million number is going to be bang on, and we're going to be on time. And it's very exciting for us because it grows our precious metal revenue by 500% next year. So it's
pretty exciting. How long does that ore need to be on the leach pad for it to then get into the processing for that first gold pour?
Right. So you got 82.5% recovery or so totally on the ore, and that takes just under 4 months. But you get a good 30 or 35% in the first month. And so ultimately, again, I think we'll be up and running very quickly on commercial production because this leaches very quickly. And one of the key dates about getting it up in October is you want to get that first ore in the leach pad before it gets too cold. Because that effect, but once you get it on and you keep putting cyanide on top of it, you don't ever have an issue with it. But you don't want to be doing it in December. That's why it was very important for us to fast track, get this thing moving quickly. So again, by 3.5 months, you're at 80 of the 82.5% recovery. So very quick leach time. We have very little issues with permeability or clay or any of that stuff. So it's a pretty simple process. So we're very excited. The mine has leached ore before, so there's lots of known information about it. So again, and as far as the mines that my team has built over their career at Barrick and America's Gold and Silver, this is probably the simplest mine we've built. So we're excited about it.
I'm just kind of curious, what led to your decision? Before Relief Canyon, you were primarily a silver producer and some base metals, lead and zinc. What made you want to transition and diversify more of your precious metals production to gold on top of the silver?
Okay, so a couple things. We were a silver producer in 2012 and basically silver only with a little bit of copper. And the challenge became when silver went from $35 to $13, 2 points. How do you stay alive? And how do you keep your best silver in the ground? Because we thought $13 was a low price. So ultimately, we bucked the trend in the sense of most of the silver producers in the world were high grading their silver reserves to show decent costs and to stay alive. What we did is, instead of doing that, we converted our high-grade silver copper into high-grade, so high-grade silver with low-grade copper into high-grade lead zinc with lower-grade silver. That allowed us to maintain silver production, but not nearly as much as we could bring on. But more importantly, it allowed us to keep our best silver in the ground because we are believers in higher silver prices. So the challenge becomes, when silver stays down as long as it has and you're producing more base metals than silver, people stop thinking you're a silver company. So we look at it and say, if you look at, you know, really good companies like Endeavor and First Majestic, they're mining silver at a loss and they're chewing up their reserves. We, on the other hand, we have increased our reserve grade by 22% over the last 6 years because we're producing our lowest grade silver. So that means when silver comes back, which we think is going to happen, we're going to be able to produce a lot more silver than those guys. As a growth, we can probably triple our silver production. Problem we had is, in the interim, we traded very poorly because silver hadn't moved. And it's a lot different. Gold companies at $1,200 gold can make money. Silver companies at $1,350 or $14 can't make money. So ultimately, we were trying to figure out a way to increase our precious metal exposure without having to put our best silver on the silver into production now. And so Pershing accomplished that by giving us a project that had a 95% IRR at $1,250 gold, so it's way higher than that now. So NPV is well over $250 million on a project we paid $38 million for. It re-rated us back to a precious metal producer from a base metal producer, and almost as importantly, allows us to keep that silver in the ground. So people think, oh, silver's gone to $18, aren't we excited? We think it's going to go to $30, and we can go from 1.5 million ounces to 4.5 billion ounces of silver. That's when we get real leverage for our shareholders.
Do you need $30 silver to go after that high grade?
No, but we believe the price is going to be there at some point. So we can make money at $20, good, really good money. But again, if you think $20 is all the silver price is going to be, like, I make money on lead and zinc today, and I don't have to use up my silver. I don't think lead and zinc prices in 3 years are going to be as high as they are now. So I'm going to make money on that stuff while I can, and I'm going to wait for silver to get to a price I like. So the company itself is going to go up in silver production next year over year, despite the fact that we did a 60-40 joint venture with Eric, and we're going to lose some silver from Galena. It's actually, you know, that production will go, our silver production overall in the balance sheet will go up year over year, but it's not where, it's not going yet to where the potential is to go.
You mentioned the strategic investment with Eric Sprott. I do want to get to that. That was one of the questions I want to ask you. But before we do that, can you give the listeners an idea, both with your Galena project in Idaho and the Cosala project in Mexico, how much high-grade silver in those two areas are we still sitting on?
Yeah, so we got about 10.5 years of reserves in Mexico. 3 years is the zinc lead. 7 years is the high-grade silver. Okay, so... And that's the tip of the iceberg. We've had no money to drill out more reserves. So there's definitely more reserves. But at some point you say, I got 10 years on the balance sheet. I don't have, prices are low. I'm not going to spend a lot more money on exploration. I think in Mexico we'll be mining there for the next 30 years. So the question is, can you find more high-grade silver? You're going to find more high-grade base metals. And that's the question as we go do exploration we're going to try and solve for. But we got 7 years there. At Galena, there's 80 million ounces. And of that 80 million ounces, the majority of that is silver copper reserves. And we haven't mined any of that silver copper since 2013. So that stuff is 13 ounces silver. The problem is it's in narrower in veins, and so it's a little bit more costly to extract. So when you had silver and copper drop, that stuff became more expensive. So in 2012, we did 2.3 million ounces out of Galena, all out of silver copper stopes. Right now, we're going to do 1 million ounces this year out of just silver lead stopes. And with the Sprott joint venture and the money he's putting in, we're going to go to 2.2 to 2.5 million just of silver lead. And you have all of that silver copper to come back on at higher prices. So at both Mexico and Galena, the silver lead production and the silver zinc lead production, or silver copper production even in Mexico, can come back on at almost any price. The silver copper at Galena needs probably $25 prices. So we understand where it is, where our trigger points are. But our objective is we always want to make $10 an ounce. So when you think about what it costs to discover a mine, to permit it, to drill it, to build it, to make a dollar an ounce, to take it out of your balance sheet, is asinine. It's just the wrong process, right?
Well, your all-in sustaining cost on your silver is just a little over $10 company-wide, is that right?
Yes, but what I'm saying is, if we brought on all this silver copper, maybe our number goes to $16 or $15 an ounce, and then we make $2. So you focus on the stuff that makes the most money, you get your spread, and then you kind of you wait for the prices to go and you alter. So we're very lucky to have high-grade silver, low-grade copper, and high-grade lead zinc, or, you know, like different products, because that allows us to defend when silver prices are lower, not have an issue with the company. Silver prices are higher, bring on that high-grade reserve, right? So we're very comfortable with where we are. The challenge we had at Galena was, where silver prices were, was hard for our board to make a business decision. They can't make a business decision on $22 silver. They're making a business decision on $15 silver. And so therefore, when you look at the arb between what Eric did with us and what we did with Eric, is that he doesn't care. He thinks silver's going 100. And he may well be right, but I can't make a business decision based on $100 silver in the future. So his capital makes the IRR on my project go from single digits to almost triple digits, because it's all his money going in, and then I get more profitable silver out, and I get to discover more profitable silver. So we're very excited about it. Works for both parties.
You know, that news was really interesting, because I think it was maybe the only time I've ever seen a joint venture with a company and an individual, you know, not just two companies, right? So it was very unique. But give us kind of a rundown of what this money is going to do. I believe it was $20 million, but it's meant to basically modernize the Galena complex, right?
Yeah, so three things. There's 80 million ounces of silver currently discovered at Galena, okay? But of that 80 million ounces, there's about 12 million in reserves, and then there's some measured and indicated, and then there's inferred. And the only reason we have a lot of indicated, almost 58 million ounces of inferred and indicated, not because it's not drilled properly, it's because we don't have any infrastructure there. So the hard part is that if you're using $15 or $16 silver, to spend all of that capital to get down to those reserves, you don't get a great return on that money. So, you know, we expect a 15% return for our shareholders. So when we bought Pershing, it was a 33% return at $1,290 gold. It's now gone to 50%. At Galena, it would have been 4 or 5%. So it's hard to justify using shareholder money to get those kind of returns. So Eric's money comes in, and it modernizes one of the shafts, because we're going to more than double production, and we need that capacity. It's going to buy new mining equipment. We haven't bought a single new piece of mining equipment since 2012. So at one piece of one of our loaders, we've rebuilt 37 times. So we've done all of the MacGyvering duct taping we can do. And so Eric's money, $7.5 million of that 20, is infrastructure, like infrastructure and mining equipment. Another $7.5 billion is development. So developing to the known reserves that are already in the ground that we know will be profitable once we get there. And then the third kind of $6 million or so is exploration drilling. Okay, and that exploration drilling will take that 80 million ounces and add somewhere between 80 and another 100 million ounces. So take the mine from 80 million to potentially 160 to 180. So we've given up 40% of the asset, but it's losing money and unprofitable. We're going to end up with 60% of more ounces than we started with, producing more production than we started with, using Mr. Sprott's capital to fund that for us, which is a decision our board would never make. So,
Darren, I don't want to take up more time than we've allotted, but I do have one last question. I mean, for pure margin cases, America's Gold and Silver appears to have one of the best margin calls in the entire industry as far as a mid-tier, late-stage developer and with operations and production. What are some of the challenges you're going to be faced with within the next year that you are maybe kind of waiting to see if you have to play those cards?
Okay. So what we've been successful at to create margin is to find low capital intensity projects, like San Rafael in Mexico, which was $16 million to build, like Relief, which is $30 million to build. So low cash, low capital intensity up front, and then get lots of cash flow. The challenge we have is mine life length. And so what we're going to make a tremendous amount of free cash flow from the Relief Canyon mine in the next 3 years, like close to 100 and some million dollar, maybe 120 million of free cash flow at these prices. We need to find what we call the unicorn, the asset that's 10 to 15 year mine life, produces more than 100,000 ounces, can be built for. So what we want to do is we want to build a company on long life assets. And so the hardest thing for us to find is those. So Burleigh Canyon's got a 6 year reserve plus another year or two of resource. Mexico, we've got 10 years, we got to drill it out. Galena, we've got a lot of resources, but it's challenging. So we're trying to find another asset in the Americas with great jurisdiction that can be the next stool of growth for us. So that's the biggest challenge.
How's the shopping been while you've been here in Colorado for the last 2 weeks?
Well, I'm happy to say that when I used to come to Denver, we were so small that all I did was do shopping. Now I haven't had much time because there's a lot of investors interested in the story, so that's good. But listen, we're not looking for the obvious, let's merge with a company our size and get on another ETF to create value. We're actually looking for value, intrinsic assets. There's a number of them out there. And what I'm most excited about is I don't have to go to Honduras or Guatemala or Brazil or whatever. There's discounted assets in North America that we'd be very excited to pick up. And the key is to do it at a good price for our shareholders. Because what I don't want to do is buy companies and transfer all the value from my shareholders to the new shareholders. So the question is, how do you get deals done that are accretive to both sides that create good returns for our shareholders? That's the hardest part, right?
Would you consider looking at other assets in Nevada? One of my concerns is Nevada, especially during a bull market, the premium's getting so high as far as shareholder value and return goes, it's almost playing, you know, it's almost too much money that has to go into projects. And like, why not look at other jurisdictions, whether it be, you know, Idaho or Utah?
Yeah, so listen, we got a mine in Idaho. We're all over Idaho. We actually like parts of California. You know, we may be a mine permit. Grassy Mountain may even be permitted in Oregon, which, you know, 10 years ago, never would have thought, right? Yeah. So I think the United States is a great jurisdiction. There's places like Quebec and, you know, parts of Canada that are very good. Mexico is a great place to do mining, but there's other challenges there, of course, right? So you got to get area specific and understand where you are. So we've got focus on, I think our focus right now is Mexico, Nevada, Idaho, and Quebec. So very good jurisdictions with good growth. And you know what? Trading at 0.3 times NAV, you know what, we could call that's a discount, but I'd rather buy something at 0.3 times NAV in Nevada than buy something 0.18 times in Brazil any day.
One last question, just about the ticker symbol and the share price. Almost December last year, you were trading at about $1.30 in U.S., and now you're today like pushing $3. It's actually been higher than that over the last couple of weeks before this consolidation in the silver and gold prices. But we were also in a bull market now. Last year at this time, we were in a bear market. You as a CEO, how difficult was to make those hard decisions not to go after that high grade, but to really just put your foot down? We know things are going to turn around. And our game plan, our business strategy is solid and found with good strategy here.
Well, I think the key thing was shareholders. So we had Pierre Lassonde, Eric Sprott. We knew that if the strategy was right and if we needed some money, we could always go to those guys. We weren't beholden to the, you know, institutional capital markets group. I mean, you know, Eric's been a supporter of the company since day one. Pierre's been a great supporter for the last year and a half. So ultimately, we had the confidence because they believed in what we were doing. And so that helped a lot. So the decisions weren't easy, but we knew they were the right ones. And I think as management of a company and have been at Barrick for a long time, sometimes you made the wrong decisions to enable your share price to go higher in the short term. And I think our ultimate decision is we think we're going to be a $10 stock, but that's going to take 2 years, and we're happy to. And so when we see a move from a dollar to three, but it really went to four, and now we're at three, just keep doing your job. You know, keep doing the blocking and tackling. Keep doing the right things. Keep going out marketing the stock, and it'll get there, right?
Well, as a shareholder, I hope it's a $10 stock. Thank you so much, Darren. It's a pleasure to finally get a chat with you. Enjoy the rest of your time here in Denver. I know it's kind of coming to an end here pretty soon. But best of luck. And, is there any way shareholders can reach out to you or get to ask any further follow-up questions?
Yeah, sure. Obviously, Andrea, Totino, and I, but I'll give you, and I'm just looking at my new cards because we just rebranded to America's Gold and Silver. So it's DBLASUTTI at americas-gold.com. So anytime, reach out. I'm really good on email, getting back to people, and get a hold of me. I'm happy to do it. And thanks, Trevor. Appreciate it.
That's Darren Blasutti. He's the CEO of Now America's Gold and Silver, traded on the Toronto Stock Exchange with the symbol USA, and also on the NYSE American with USAS.
Mining Stock Daily and its affiliates are not responsible for any loss arising from any investment decision in connection with material presented herein.